प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिव सनि गौर भक्त वृंद हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम हरे राम 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 हरे हरे
So now we're in the Purushottam month. It's an extra month in the year. What happens is that a lunar day, which is a titi, is the difference between the sun moving and the moon moving, so there's 1 degree difference. So that can be anywhere from as little as 19 hours and up to, I think, 26, 27, or 29 hours like this. So the lunar year by days will be about 11 days shorter than the solar day, month, solar year. So every 3 years, an extra month is put in to bring it back to the same. So that's called the Purushottam month, right? So that month then is this extra month, Adhika month. So some people will consider it inauspicious because during that month you don't do any material auspicious activities. You know, you don't know marriages, no, you know, all different kinds of things that you would do in the Karmakanda thing, you know, your Shraddha rites or anything like that. So therefore, amongst the Karmakandis, the Smartas, then they'll consider it inauspicious, the month, right? But actually, it's the opposite. It's so auspicious, these things aren't done. Just like Akadasi is not inauspicious, it's auspicious. So it's so auspicious that material things just aren't done. Does that make sense? So it's like that. Yes? No? Maybe? Okay, so now from the Padma Purana, it's the story about the... Once upon a time, thousands of sages came together in the holy place called Naimisharanya to perform sacrifice. To their very good fortune, the great sage Suta Goswami, who had been traveling to different pilgrimage sites, arrived there along with his disciples. The sages present there were very enlivened to see him. They all stood up immediately to pay their respects to the great sage, offered him a very nice vyasasana, and requested him with folded hands to sit down on it. Right? Basically, all the Puranas are spoken by Suta Goswami. So here's another occasion where, and the sages at Naimisharanya. One remembers they're doing a 1,000-year sacrifice, so there's plenty of opportunity for, you know, them to hear from Suta Goswami. You know, it's not like they came there for, some quick yajna and all that, and so they couldn't fit it all in. They're there for 1,000 years. The sages of Naimisharanya said to Suta Goswami with folded hands, O Sutaji, all of us are humbly requesting you to please tell us something about the wonderful activities and pastimes of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. There are many thousands of such narrations, but we want to listen to the most perfect one, by following which we can all be delivered from this material ocean and return back to Godhead. Right. So you're saying is there's so many pastimes of the Lord, so what pastime by hearing then we'll be able to go back to Godhead? Hearing the request made by these sages, headed by Shonaka Rishi, Suta Goswami began to speak. O sages, please listen to me. I first went to Pushkar Tirtha. Then after visiting thousands of other holy places, I reached Hastinapur. Where is Pushkar? You know, it's one of those. It's kind of a toy for kids. You know, it looks like a car, but you have to push it around. You know, it's not a. You know what I'm saying? You see, kids have those, and you have to push them around. That's a push car, right? No, then. It's a holy tirtha in northern India. I see. What is this holy Tirtha? Anybody remember? Yes. Yes, it's the only place where Lord Brahma is worshipped, actually. There's a deity there. He did perform the sacrifice, the only place in India. Because there was a curse before. He got a curse that he wouldn't be worshipped. Like that. So even though he's, you know, I mean, Shiva's worshipped so much, temples everywhere, Vishnu, why wouldn't Brahma? But it's the only Brahma temple. There on the bank of the Ganges, I saw thousands of sages sitting together with Parikshit Maharaj. Just then the great sage Sukadeva Goswami appeared, and all the sages present paid him proper respect by rising from their seats with folded hands. All the sages unanimously offered the lotus Vyasasana to Sukadeva Goswami, which was meant for the speaker who would speak Krishna Katha to Parikshit Maharaj. Right, so they're making it clear here that this is what's going to be spoken, was Krishna Katha, not something else. Impressive. Because the electricity burnt out last night. He's there. So he's just fixing it. Okay. There's no electricity yesterday, so no fan, no. Sutta Goswami said, O sages, I have just come from Hastinapur, where I heard the whole Srimad Bhagavatam from the lotus mouth of Sukadeva Goswami. Oh well, it's like your credits ran out. That was it. But what you're hearing here, so many credits you'll get. Right? So now I'll tell you about the all-attractive activities and pastimes of the Lord. Once long ago, Sri Narad Muni reached Bhadarik Ashrama, the residence of Lord Naranarayan Rishi. The river Alakananda was flowing down from his lotus feet. Narada paid his obeisances to Narayana and prayed, O Lord of the demigods, O ocean of mercy, O master of creation, you are all truthful, the essence of all truths, and so I am paying my obeisances unto you. O Lord, in this material world, all living at it. What happened?
Chaitanya needs space.
Chaitanya needs space. Why? Because he came from the Goshalas, so you're saying he smells like cow dung or something. You know, it's kind of like the British, you know, that they're talking to you, and when they're, you know, finished with their businesses, you know, they make it sound like, you know, the other person, oh, you know, you're busy now, so, you know, I'll let you go and things like this. It's the other way around. You come to them for business when they get tired of, okay, so I'll let you go now, when it's actually they came to you. So, yes, he needed some space and all that. Something like that. Is there like a geographical amount of space he requires? So many square feet or something. No? Not sure. Okay. O Lord, in this material world, all living entities are busily engaged in sense gratification. They have all forgotten the ultimate goal of life. Therefore, please explain something which will be helpful both for householders and sages in the renounced order like me. Something that will help us attain self-realization and return back to Godhead. Hearing the sweet words of Narada, Lord Narayana smiled. He said, O Narada, please listen to narrations about the supremely pious pastimes of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna, for they will diminish all sinful reaction. O Narada, you already know of all the activities of the Supreme Lord, but for the benefit of others, you are asking me again. So now I will tell you about the glories of the sacred Purushottam month, which is fully potent to grant not only all material happiness, but also qualify one to return back to Godhead at the end of life. Right, so here he's approached Narayana for what's benefit. And Narayana says, oh, so you hear pastimes about Krishna. Because Narayana is a devotee of Krishna. And since he's heard all the pastimes, so then he's talking about the Purushottama. Naraji inquire, O Lord, I have heard the glories of all months, including Kartik, Chaitra, etc. But which month is this Purushottama month? O Ocean of Mercy, please tell me all about this sacred month. What is the way to glorify this month? What should I do in this month? How should I take bath, given charity, etc.? What should I chant? Who should I worship? Should I observe fasting in this month? Please tell me everything in detail. Right? So these are your standard elements of auspiciousness. You know, taking bath, giving in charity, chanting, worshiping, fasting. Right? So these are standards. So he's asked about that. So now we'll learn what is it that makes this. Sutta Goswami said, O sages, after hearing all these questions from Narada, Lord Narayana began to speak from his moon-like lotus mouth. O Narada, I'm going to tell you something which was previously explained by Lord Sri Krishna to Maharaj Yudhishthira. Once Dharmaraj Yudhishthira lost everything, his empire, his palace, and even his chaste wife Draupadi, to Duryodhana in a gambling match. At that time, Draupadi was insulted by Dushasana in front of the whole royal assembly. But when Dushasana had tried to strip Draupadi naked, she was saved from such a dangerous situation by Lord Sri Krishna. After this incident, Yudhishthira Maharaj, along with his brothers and wife, left his kingdom and lived in the Kamyaka forest. Right? Previously, then, you know, it had to have somebody like Dushasana to create this kind of dangerous situation for the ladies. But nowadays, the ladies, without the help of Dushasana, then they make their own dangerous arrangements. But, here it's also questions asked, and then they refer to another story, someone else's narration. Does that make sense? So here, even the Lord is referring to another conversation like that. Okay. Once Sri Krishna, son of Devaki, visited the Pandavas in the forest. All the Pandavas, including Draupadi, were very happy to see their Lord, and they forgot their painful forest life immediately. They felt enriched with a new life just by taking Krishna's darshan. They paid their obeisances at the Lord's lotus feet. Seeing the miserable living condition of the Pandavas, Lord Sri Krishna became very upset, and at the same time he became very angry towards Duryodhana. It appeared as if the Lord was going to destroy the whole universe, and so the Pandavas became fearful, and all began to pray to the Lord in a humble mood. Listening to the humble prayers of Arjuna, the Lord composed himself and said, O Arjuna, being very pleased with all of you, Pandavas, and being controlled by your devotion and worship, friendship towards me, I will now tell you about the wonderful history of Purushottama month. Right, so the Lord, seeing the situation, became angry. So that Arjuna was able to take that mood that he has from there, and then somehow to bring it back to where he's peaceful again. Right. Does that make sense? So that's the trick, not just saying, oh, that's stupid. Okay, but the point is if it's actually stupid and the person is supposed to give it up, then that means you know the method. Does that make sense? So that means you would be able to catch what is their mood and then from there bring it to where it's supposed to be. Otherwise, just tell the other person to get over it and quit being so trippy. That's easy. You know, it's just like saying, you know, why are you sitting here? Why don't you become rich and famous? You know, or powerful, or, you know all the, you know, the classes and everything. Why don't you just, you know what I'm saying? That would be some nice advice, but here is that you actually deal with the person in their mood, and then you're able to bring them from whatever position they're at to where it is that you feel would be a better situation. Does that make sense? O Arjuna, once upon a time, by the arrangement of providence, an extra month came to this world. Everyone took this month to be most inauspicious, and even saw it as a stool-like month, because it's called Mala Mas. Mala means, you know, all the dirt and everything like that. So they were seeing it as dirty, but actually what means the Mala Mas means all dirty things are removed. You know what I'm saying? It's just like in the Pancharatra, you have after one's getting up and one's, you know, putting one's bed away and everything like that, then there's Mala Mutra Tyag, which means, you know, the renunciation of stool and urine, right? But it's not about the stool and urine, it's about clearing it up, getting rid of it, making oneself pure. Does that make sense? So then the Purushottam month being called Mala means getting rid of the Mala, not that it is Mala. Does that make sense? Yeah? Just as one should not touch stool, so this month was also seen as untouchable. It was constantly unprotected and blasphemed and rejected by everyone as an improper time for any religious and auspicious activities. Just means it's the wrong time for any mundane auspicious activities. Being so rejected by all human beings and constantly hearing only bad words and blasphemy, this extra month became very sad. She came to Vaikuntha to explain her sorrowful situation to the Lord. Seeing Lord Vishnu on his simhasana, she fell down at his lotus feet in a mood of sorrow and grief. Tears were falling profusely from her eyes. She started praying to the Lord, "O ocean of mercy, I have come to you helpless. I have been rejected and blasphemed by all peoples of the world. Please protect me. Please show me your mercy. Please don't be indifferent towards me." Saying these words, the extra month continued crying in front of Lord Vishnu and sat down before him in a dejected mood. Seeing the humble and pitiable position of the extra month, Lord Vishnu became very merciful towards her. He told her, "Do not lament. I shall give you protection from all of your miseries. Please stop crying. It is not proper to lament after taking shelter at my lotus feet." Right? So protection means removing whatever is the problem, making the situation favorable. Protection doesn't just mean, you know, you just see that the local bully doesn't give any problem. Right? So it means whatever the problem is. Here, people are speaking bad, so you could say it's a social situation. So removing that, then that makes it nice. You know, that's protection. You know, not that, oh, don't be trippy. You know, what's the problem? They're all saying, who do we care? You know, it is, we don't care. But like we see, like Arjuna, you have to start from the position they're at. Otherwise, somebody's, you know, someone is, let's say, very hungry, you know, and because of that, you know, they're not able to take part nicely or they're distracted. So instead of just saying, "Hey, don't be distracted," and it's not you, figure out and provide them with food. Does this make sense? Right? So that's protection. And so then she's saying these things is that protect, show the mercy, right? It means protect and show kindness, mercy, and don't be indifferent. Because if you're indifferent, means you don't interact in the relationship. So they're saying give protection, but also don't be indifferent. So it can mean it is simultaneous. If you're not indifferent, then you can offer protection. But there's an idea that you can be indifferent and offer protection. No, but they go together because indifference means you're not dealing in the relationship, right? So, and protection means you're dealing in the relationship. So you can't actually mix the two, though people do it, you know. You take care, oh yeah, no, I provide money, I have the house. You know, we see that, you know, nothing goes wrong. So that's part of it, but the main thing is the emotional element, right? The main thing is the emotional element, because that's what makes the protection. Right? Does that make sense? So that support is what actually makes it work. Does this make sense? Yes? No? Very good. All right, not just you just see that nothing goes wrong, but it's also that emotional support. Right? And also he's saying it's not proper to lament because you've taken shelter of the Lord. The Lord, he'll take care of everything. So a devotee never laments. Brahmins don't lament because they've taken shelter of the Lord. So once you've done that, you don't lament because Krishna will take care. How he'll take care, this and that, that's another thing. But the point is, he'll take care. Being so consoled by the Lord, the extra month began speaking in open-hearted language. O Lord, you know all my painful condition. No one is in a more miserable situation in these three worlds than I. Right? Now, he doesn't say, oh, don't get over it. This one is also in a miserable condition, you know, like that. No, so this is how they feel. So you take like that. You deal with it like that. Right? Because you're dealing with how they feel, not, you know, so quantify, you know. Does that make sense? First of all the months, years, days, nights, directions, etc. are being protected by you. And so they are always moving fearlessly in their unique, charming moods, right? So all of these, they're all people, right? You're different. That means you're all the months. So you have these 12 months. These are 13th months. Your years, the 60 different years, they all have names. They work in a cycle. They're, you know, in groups of five, like that. So there's 12, you know, because everything goes in 12. So 12 groups of 5 months. But they're all there, so like that. The days themselves, the nights, direction, they're all persons. Right? So they're all protected by the Lord. So they do their duties, and that unique flavor that each one has is able to be spread. But I, an extra month, don't have any name, nor any protector, nor a husband to give me shelter. All the demigods and human beings have rejected me for any auspicious activities. For this reason, O Lord, I want to die immediately. O Narada, this extra month repeatedly said, I want to die, I want to die, I want to die. Then she fainted at the feet of the Lord. Very emotional. Being requested by Lord Vishnu, Garuda started fanning the extra month. And after some time, she got up and began to speak. O Lord of the universe, I am in need of your shelter, so please protect me. Lord Vishnu told the extra month, O child, please don't lament. All of your miserable conditions will be finished very soon. Get up and come with me to Goloka Vrindavan, which is even unobtainable to great yogis. Goloka is the abode of Lord Sri Krishna. Here Lord Sri Krishna in his two-handed form, surrounded by gopis and enjoying, is in his two-handed form, surrounded by gopis and is enjoying his eternal pastimes. Right. So here again, Narayana, they go to Narayana for shelter. Narayana says, we'll go see Krishna. The Supreme Sri Krishna of Goloka will deliver you from all your miseries. Please come with me. Right? So why not Vishnu? Right? Because the auspiciousness is so great that these very auspicious Malik Kartik is dear to Krishna. You know, Ekadasi is dear to Krishna. You know, so therefore then. From a distant place, Lord Vishnu and the extra month observe the effulgence of Goloka. This dazzling effulgence automatically forced Malamas to close her eyes. Therefore, keeping the extra month behind him, Lord Vishnu proceeded further until he reached the main gate. There the doorkeeper paid his respects to him. Having reached the supreme abode, Lord Vishnu met Lord Sri Krishna, who is surrounded by many devoted gopis. Lord Vishnu, who is the husband of Rama Devi, paid his obeisances to Lord Sri Krishna. Then he made the extra month also offer her obeisances at the lotus feet of Lord Sri Krishna, even though she was crying loudly. Immediately Sri Krishna asked, why is she crying? She is in Goloka Vrindavan. Why is she crying? Because if you're in Goloka, it means Vishnu said you've taken shelter of me, so don't lament. And he's saying you're in Goloka Vrindavan, you know, why you're crying. hearing these words from Lord Sri Krishna, Lord Vishnu got up from his seat and started explaining the whole miserable condition of this extra month. He begged him to please protect this unprotected month. There is no one except you, Lord Krishna, who can save this extra month from her hellish condition and give her full protection. Having said these words, Lord Vishnu remained standing in front of Lord Krishna with folded hands. Right, because now Goloka is the biggest. It's bigger than all the other Vaikuntha planets put together. Right, so that means the maximum amount of devotees are worshiping Krishna. So unless Krishna gives her shelter, then that means everyone won't take shelter. Does that make sense? A holiday for Vishnu, some observe, some don't. Like Vaikuntha Ekadasi, all those who worship Vishnu, that's like one of their biggest days of the year. You know, that's like, Janmashtami or something, you know. But you know, for the Gaudiyas, it's not such a big festival. It's just another Ekadasi, right? Does that make sense? So, therefore, if she's going to get full protection, like as he mentioned that no one can give full protection, says no one except you can give her full protection. That means if Krishna gives protection, then that means all Vaishnavas will then give will respect. Yes? No? Maybe? What do you think? So, do you think he should be standing on his head or only standing on 1 foot? 1 foot. Now, that should that be on his toes or not? You're not sure. What about his hands raised above his head? It worked for Hiranyakashipu. No? What?
What is
a nut? What is a nut? He should stand on his toe or not? He should stand on a nut. That's also a thing. Then the question would be what kind of nut he should be standing on. You know? Now, if he stands on something like a macadamia, they're very round, and so that'll be harder to stand on, like that. Walnut also. But now if he stands on something like an almond that's flat, it'll be easier to stand. Now if he sits on it, oh no, that's a seed. Yeah.
A cashew?
A cashew, yeah. That's also. So, I'm not sure which would be the most beneficial, because then, I mean, depending if no one's looking after he stood on it, then he can always eat it, right? You know, but that's. I guess maybe by standing on the macadamia or the walnut, it might crack the shell, then it would make it easier to eat. You know, well, the cashew doesn't have a shell, so then no need to stand on it. So probably better he doesn't stand on a nut. Yeah? Stand on the knot. Oh, but the knot on your thread you wouldn't stand on unless you cry some other knot. But you could, disregarding material existence, so standing on the knot of material existence, one goes beyond the material existence, you know, to the transcendental state. We could also do that. So maybe it was some hidden sutra of, you know, transcendental, you know, Upanishadic wisdom that he was speaking. Yes? Yes?
You said he should stand on his, with his hands up or not. And he thought it was nut.
Oh, he said his hands up or not.
Or not, and he thought.
He thought it was nut. But there's also another mistake here. We were talking about what you should be doing. I asked him whether you should be standing on your head or on your toes. So it was not. It was not nut. It was not. But the conversation wasn't for not. Right? Right? Nor were we talking about how fast a ship goes. Okay? Yeah? And neither... It is a conversation. We weren't talking about the quality of his, how you say, behavior, right? You know, that it's, you know, it would be not e, right? You know, it means someone in a condition of notness is not e, right? Same time as then, his naughtiness, who it would be directed towards, he would be the not-er, and then there's the person receiving that notness, that would be the not-e. Right? So you understand all this, right? I guess give it a few years when you're doing the more advanced grammar classes, maybe it'll make sense. Because he's a very esoteric, you know, how you say, very elevated subject matters. Yes? Yes? No? You were just seeing how quickly you could put your hand down. No? Okay. See, that's going this way very quick. But I would suggest going from with the right hand more from right to left. You know what I'm saying? That same movement, but start here. No, a little bit more towards the west. No, west is behind you. Yeah, now do it. But what happened to that volume, that velocity that you were? Maintain that same. Okay. Then Suta Goswami continued to speak, "O sages, Lord Vishnu took his seat, and Lord Krishna spoke very confidential words to him. Listen carefully, for I am now going to share those words with all of you." Right? So now Lord Vishnu, right, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is going, and when it's time to present the case, he stands up and then with folded hands and is saying all these things, right? So now if God does like this, you know, why wouldn't we, right? So this is etiquette. This is just how God likes to work, right? It's the proper thing. You stand up, it means respect, you have something to say, you know, like this, but it's also in humble mood so the other person listens. Because if you have attitude, they'll have attitude. If you're humble, then they'll listen nicely, right? You're petitioning something, so then folded hands are there, shows that there's some kind of prayer. It's just natural, you know, it's the way things go. And so if Vishnu is willing to do that, so then naturally that would be how we would behave. Then Lord Purushottam, Sri Krishna said, "O Vishnu, you have done a very great deed by bringing this extra month to me." So even Vishnu gets, you know, credit for doing nice work, right? "You will become even more famous for performing this act," right? So he's saying that, you know, Mahavishnu will become even more famous, you know. "Because you have accepted this malamas, I will also accept her." Now Krishna, now here the junior is going to the senior, but the senior is saying, "Because you have accepted, I will accept." Right? You have given her shelter. You're the Supreme Lord, so I will therefore accept. Right? Because just as what a Brahmin does, the Lord accepts, so therefore what any of the other Vishnumurtis do, Krishna accepts. Does that make sense? So this is the element of that respect and care and consideration for someone who's junior. Not that being senior means you don't care for anybody. That's a modern concept. The Vedic concept is that, you know, because of relationship, therefore one cares. No? Right? I shall make this poor, poor extra month just like me in quality, fame, opulence, realization, success, and in giving benediction to the devotees. This month will become equally potent to me. I am bestowing all of my divine qualities in this abused month. Named after me, this month will be famous as Purushottama. Purushottama month in this world, right? So all these things, all these same things, you know, one can realize Krishna's fame, opulence, success, everything, you know, by dealing with this month. O Janardana, now that she has imbued my qualities, I myself will become the husband and protector of this Purushottama month. And being equal to me, this month will be the master of all other months. Now this month will become worshipable by one and all. Everyone should pay their respects to her. Everyone should worship her. This month is equally as powerful as me to give any type of benediction to its observer. I am making this month desire-free, unlike other months which are full of some desire or other. The worshiper of this month will be able to burn all his past sinful reactions to ashes, and after enjoying a blissful life in the material realm, he will return back to Godhead. Right? So because this month is connected to Krishna, and Krishna is the supreme of all manifestations of Godhead, that puts her in the supreme position. Right? So that means she's the head of all other months. So instead of being less than all the other months, she actually ended up being more. Right? And so then by worshiping this month, then one can burn up all material reactions and go back to Godhead. So, good month to observe. O Garuda Dwaj, Lord Krishna continued, my Goloka is unattainable to the performers of austerities, Mahatmas engaged in pious activities, to people who maintain celibacy, or to those who fast their whole life's duration. Right? That doesn't mean that devotees shouldn't be, you know, performing austerities or be celibate, you know, like that. You know, I'm saying, because some people say, see here, those who maintain celibacy can't go. No, it means that by that, that's not what's going to get you to Goloka. Only by pleasing Krishna. You understand how people misinterpret the scriptures? They'll read something like that and says, no, but I read that it says that someone who's celibate can't go to Goloka. You know, people do this, you know. Oh, you know, those who perform austerity, so we can't be austere. No, what he's saying is that by doing that and thinking that that alone, without devotion, is going to get you to Goloka, that won't happen. It's only through devotion. So that devotion is expressed through these things. Does that make sense? Yeah? Just by observing Purushottama month and becoming a devotee, one can easily cross over this material ocean and return back to Godhead, right? So observing the month in a devotional mood. Observance of this Purushottama month is the best of all austerities. Just as the farmer produces a rich harvest by planting seeds in nicely cultivated land, so an intelligent man who practices devotional service to the Supreme Lord in this Purushottama month will enjoy a blissful life while in this world, and after leaving his body, he will return back to Godhead. So then whatever, in other words, one is performing one's same devotional activities, but one is conscious that this, you know, doing this month pleases Krishna. Just like in Kartik, you're conscious of the month, right? You're doing the same activities and possibly more. Right, but at least one's making more conscious and making the devotional endeavor is more, even though the activities may or may not change. You may already be doing all the things of you know, fasting and bathing, giving in charity, all these things that Narada Muni mentioned. But now you're more conscious that this is a month very dear to Krishna, so therefore one is taking more advantage. An unfortunate, ignorant man who does not perform any japa, does not give any charity, does not pay respect to Lord Shri Krishna and his devotees, does not behave properly to brahmanas, makes enmity with others, and who blasphemies the Purushottama month will go to hell for an unlimited period. Lord Shri Krishna continued, how can a person make his life successful unless he performs devotional service in this Purushottama month? A person who is fully engaged in sense gratification and does not give any special importance to the sacred month becomes the best candidate for hell. All human beings should perform some devotional service to this Purushottama month by, one, taking bath in a holy river, right? Any holy river around here? Come on, scratch your head. Let's get some. Ganga, yes. You know the Ganga. Don't stand on your head in the Ganga. In the Ganga, you stand on your toes. Okay? But not on the nut, because the nut will sink into the mud. So no advantage. Also, don't be nutty at the Ganga. Okay, taking a bath in a holy river. Two, worshiping me, Sri Krishna, by chanting my holy name. So what is this, chanting his holy name? Mahamantra. And that would be? Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. You know this one? You'll remember it, right? You won't forget. Should I write it down for you? Yeah? Yeah. And three, giving in charity. Okay, so that's how this month is taking bath in the Ganga, worshiping Krishna by chanting his holy name, and giving in charity. These are the three main observances. You'll see as it goes, there's other finer details. But those are these are the main things that are done, right? Does that make sense? So others, if one can, it'll be explained. As you can add in things, nice. But if not, then these essential things are that. And of this, the main thing is worshiping Krishna with devotion. Does that make sense? So that's the main thing, right? And then this is, you know, the major breakdowns. A fortunate person who follows my instructions and observes this Purushottama month properly and in a faithful way worships me will attain fame, opulence, and a good son in this very life. And after enjoying a happy life, he will return back to Goloka Dham. By following my instructions, everyone should worship this sacred month. I have made it the best among all other months. O husband of Rama Devi, Vishnu, give up all kinds of mental speculation about this extra month. Just take this Purushottama month with you to your Vaikuntha abode. Right? So he's telling Vishnu to, you know, not get into mental speculation. That's, you know, it's like, how you say? Lord Nityananda and Advaitacharya, you know, how you say? Harassing each other. So. Lord Sri Krishna continued. Oh, no. After narrating this brief history of the Purushottama month, Lord Sri Krishna glanced very mercifully upon Yudhishthira and Draupadi and then began to speak to Arjuna. Right? So this is what Krishna was telling to Yudhishthira. O lion among men, can you now understand the reason why you Pandavas are suffering? You did not acknowledge or honor the presence of Purushottama month, which has just recently finished. That month which is most dear to Vrindavan Chandra has passed, but you Pandavas were in the forest and did not worship Purushottama month. So now you are suffering. You have been following the ritualistic principles given to you by Vyasadeva, but unless you worship Purushottama month, you cannot perform pure devotional service to me. Right? So because the Pandavas didn't worship the month, right? Then all this difficulty came up for them. Right? So he said. Lord Sri Krishna continued, now I'm going to narrate a famous historical event concerning the previous birth of Draupadi. In a previous birth, it's amazing, right? The Vedic stories, they get just like some simple little thing, right? You know, know, it's just so, it's got so many stories and stories and stories like that. In her previous birth, Draupadi was the daughter of a great Brahmana sage called Medhavi. Her mother died when she was a small child, and so she was under the care of her father. Day by day, the class for the adults will start at 7.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Like that. This is just for the kids.
Okay.
Otherwise, it's not that the subject matter is not something of interest to the adults. It's just when adults
okay.
are here, the kids get shy and, you know.
Oh, no problem.
Like that. So just, you know, in 15 minutes we'll start.
Okay.
Feel free to, you know, chant and stuff.
Thank you.
Okay. Day by day, she grew to full bloom youth. She was very beautiful, but her father was not interested in arranging her marriage. Seeing her other girlfriends with their husbands and young children, she passed her days in a very miserable way. In the meantime, her father passed away from this material world while uttering the sacred name of Hari. This made his daughter even more miserable. Fortunately, the great sage Durvasa Muni appeared in her ashram shortly after her father's death. Seeing the great sage, the girl paid her obeisances to him and respectfully worshipped him. She offered flowers and fruits to the great sage. When he expressed his pleasure with her reception, she began lamenting and crying before him, right? You understand this thing? First was, you know, proper worship, reception, dealing, all the things. When he's pleased and satisfied, then she can bring up her lamentation and all that. You understand? So that's the would be the proper deal properly, and then afterwards, because blessing is then you can deal in these ways. Okay? Understand? But understand this goes one way. Right? This goes from junior to senior. Never the other way. Does that make sense? So that means, you know, the wife or daughter to the, you know, father, husband. Or, you know, the child to the mother, you know, like this, but not the other way around. The parents don't do this with the child. The husband doesn't do this with the wife. Understand? I'd say it only goes this way, right? Because that shelter is there, so therefore one's comfortable, therefore one can say more things, right? But otherwise, if one is complaining, then the shelter goes away. Right? That means they have to give you shelter. Does that make sense? So one has to be careful about that. The Brahmin girl began to speak, "O great Saint Durvasa, you know everything, past, present, and future. I have no shelter in this world. I have lost all my relatives. My parents have passed away, and I have no elder brother. I am also unmarried, and therefore there is no husband to protect me. O great sage, please do something. Please help me. Please give me some advice to relieve me from this miserable condition." After listening to her prayer, Durvasa began to consider the unfortunate condition of the girl, and he decided to show mercy towards her. Right? So in other words, some relationship is necessary, right? Because there's no shelter. So there's nothing there. So the point is that it's not a problem of having relationship or family or all these things. The problem is it connected to Krishna? Right? Does that make sense? That's the difficulty. Because we see here is now what he's going to arrange is connection to Krishna. Durvasa Rishi began to speak. "O beautiful one, 3 months from now, the most auspicious Purushottama month will begin. The sacred month is most dear to Lord Sri Krishna. Just by taking a holy bath in this month, a man or woman can become completely sinless." Right? So just that one thing, just taking bath, you know, then one is freed from all sin. This Purushottama month is more glorious than all other months, including Kartik month. Not bad. The glories of all other months is not even equal to 1/16th of the glories of the Purushottama month. The merit of a person who takes a holy bath, even once in this month, is equal to the merit of taking bath in the Ganges for 12,000 years. Right? And then you're taking bath in the Ganga. Right. So and in the Dham, so multiply 12,000 years by 1,000. Right. You know, one has to be aware of where one is. Right. You know, this isn't the place. Oh well, this one said this and that one said that and this and like this. Or the merit achieved by a person who takes bath in the holy waters of Ganga or Godavari, when Brihaspati, Jupiter, enters Leo. Okay, so that must mean on this Sankranti. Jupiter enters Leo. If you will take a holy bath, so that must be a very big day also. If you will take a holy bath, give in charity and chant the holy name of Krishna during this month, all your miseries will go away. You will attain all kinds of perfection. And all of your desires will be fulfilled, right? You can become sinless just by taking bath, but if you also chant and give in charity, then not only will all the sins go away, but then all kinds of perfection and everything else will go away. So much great is just by that one thing. Please follow my advice. Please do not forget to worship the forthcoming Purushottama month very nicely. So we'll end here, and we'll continue, not tomorrow, continue on Monday. Yeah, because tomorrow I have some work, so I won't.